So ladies, as Kelly said, I'm Debbie Ashbaugh. If you don't know who I am, sometimes the cranky old lady in the back. But our lesson today is going to be talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And it's from 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. What can I say? I have facilitated a lot of teaching over the years, but I have to confess that this teaching, this one in particular, has been really heavy on my heart because of its great importance in our lives. It's important for us to know and understand what these scriptures are telling us. The Holy Spirit and His workings in our life should not be so mysterious that they are frightening to us in any way. For a time, I'll tell some of my personal stuff, and I'm pretty transparent. Whatever you want to know, just ask me. But for a time in my early walk, the Holy Spirit was kind of a scary unknown to me. And because I didn't understand, I was a bit ashamed and afraid to ask questions because all those people around me seemed to know it all. And at one time, my salvation was questioned because I did not have answers about a specific manifestation of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that shut me up pretty quick. But through prayer, through study of God's word, through godly mentorship, and as my walk with Jesus became closer, I did come to know and embrace the Holy Spirit in my life as a very important part of my walk with the Lord. I came to understand that a gift is given, and it is not earned by some formula that is created by man. The scriptures have proved themselves to be true time and time again. And the one that I go back to quite often, in all instances, is Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Pardon me, ladies, because I did not open this in prayer. And we're going to do that now. So, Father, I just ask that you be with each and every one of us. I pray that you will give us hearts that are open to receive your word, minds that have understanding, ears that are listening, that you be with each and every lady in this place, that you will meet us right where we are, that you will give your gracious mercy to each and every one of us in the way that you would have us receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. So my prayer overall and my hope is that we will all draw closer in our personal exploration and into the knowledge and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an integral part of our walk with the Lord. He is the third person of that Trinity. So let's begin with the basics, because that's where I always go. Do I even know what these words mean? So we're going to review them and their definitions. And based on Webster's Dictionary, our definition of wisdom is the quality of being wise, which encompasses knowledge and the capacity to make due use of it. It's the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships, often referred to as insight. The results of wise judgments and acquired knowledge, emphasizing discretion and sagacity. Do I sound impressive? You like that big word? So yes, I looked that one up too, and it means a keen insight and discernment. Good judgment and the ability to judge rightly based on knowledge and experience. So that's our simple definition of wisdom. Our definition of knowledge is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. It gives us a thirst for knowledge, or she has her considerable knowledge of antiques or art or whatever it may be. Similar words are understanding, comprehension, grasp, or grip. What is known in a particular field or in total, facts and information. It's an awareness or familiarity gained by experience of a fact or situation. So I did get one, I have a quote that I think makes it very simple for both of them. And it was by Pastor Paul Leboutier. We've listened to his wife's teachings in the past for some of our studies. And he says, knowledge is knowing the problem, and wisdom is knowing how to fix it. It's that simple. So I will say that over the course of preparing for this, I did listen to Pastor Paul's teachings on this subject. I listened to Skip Heitzig. I listened to Dave Gusick. I read. And what I will tell you is what I found, they were all in agreement with my main source, which was my Bible and a book by Pastor Chuck. So Pastor Chuck used some very simple examples. We were using his book, Living Water. So knowledge will tell you that the cute little black animal with the white stripe down its back is not a cat. But wisdom will tell you to keep your distance. So there's a vast difference between knowledge and wisdom. Some of the most knowledgeable people in the world are some of the most inept. You can know all kinds of things, but if you don't know how to use it, where does it go? Wisdom and knowledge are to be sought by all of us. There are multitudes of scripture that tell us to seek them both. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2:10-11 tells us, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you." And James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God." There are instructions for all of us. Wisdom and knowledge are to be gained by all of God's people. They are not just gifts for some. They are available to all. But today, I'm speaking specifically about verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 12. And we're talking about the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. These are specific gifts for a specific time and place. I want to go back and review the verses prior so that we can get a better overview of the whole thing. It says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. These are gifts which are given by the Holy Spirit for a specific reason, time, or place. They cannot be worked for, studied for, or earned. A gift is given freely, just as God's grace through Jesus Christ is a free gift to us." For the rest of the lesson, I will be quoting liberally from Pastor Chuck's book, Living Water, because he explained this so much better than I could. I told my husband at one point, "I'm not sure why I'm even trying to write this lesson. I think we're just going to have story time and I'm going to read them the book." But that wasn't really God's plan. So I listened to several teachings, as I mentioned, by Calvary Chapel pastors. And the one thing that each of them also noted is that these two gifts in particular are only mentioned by name in this verse. Many of the other gifts have specific references when they are used so that they're easily identified, such as, oh, they gave a prophecy of, you know. or there was a healing of, but they don't say there was a word of wisdom given. So it's not always so easy to pick out those scriptures. We have to be a little bit more, dig a little deeper, be a little more intuitive on those things. In our study book, we were led to passages that exemplify these gifts, and it is worthwhile to dig into them and see how the gifts are used, even though they do not call them out specifically. So let's move on. Our verse, verse 8, I'm going to read it one more time. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So the word of wisdom, we're going to start with that one, is not a vast reservoir that you can draw from according to your own desire. It does not make you into some sort of guru that can answer any and every question that is asked. You cannot tap into it at will. It is an anointing of the Spirit that comes upon you in a time of need and gives you the right words to say. A word of wisdom comes when critical issues arise and important decisions need to be made. It is a wise word that is so right, it brings divided factions together. And when people hear it, they say, oh, yeah, that was good. But of course, as with any spiritual gift, this gift remains under the control and operation of the Spirit. It isn't something to have whenever we want it. We cannot snap our fingers and make it happen. Rather, it is something the Spirit gives to us in answer to a particular need. It is more than wisdom in general. There are times when the Spirit directly gives us just the right word. In reading through the scriptures from old to new, we can see many examples of a word of wisdom. Solomon asked God for wisdom when he was moving into leadership, and God granted that to him. But not all of his decisions came from what he knew for himself. Looking back, a word of wisdom was exhibited in 1 Kings 3:16 through 28. This is a long one, sorry, ladies. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened, the third day after I had given birth, that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "Oh, no. But the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Can you hear it? The king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other one says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' And then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, 'Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." These two women fighting over a baby came before Solomon for resolution. He had no way of knowing which baby belonged to who and which one was telling the truth, but God did. The Holy Spirit directed Solomon to a solution that brought a proper end to this argument, and all the people saw that it was the wisdom of God. Truly a word of wisdom. There are many accounts of Jesus speaking a word of wisdom to diffuse a situation. One such example is in Mark 12, 13 through 17. Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. They were always trying to mess him up here, trip him up a little. And when they had come, they said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, that is Jesus, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it." So they brought it. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they marveled at him. He gave an answer that no one could argue with. There was no dissension. There was no argument on the matter. This was clearly a word of wisdom. Moving on through the New Testament, the disciples were gifted with words of wisdom in Acts several times. In Acts 6, there was a dispute over the welfare program of the church. Some felt that they were being treated unfairly because they were not born Jews. They complained to the apostles. The apostles prayed. They spoke direction. And they reached a solution for the problem. Their words, in the scripture says, it pleased the whole multitude. People on both sides were happy with what was done. That was a word of wisdom. In Acts 15, there arose a problem between the Gentile believers and some legalistic Jews regarding following the law of Moses. We've talked a lot about this one quite a bit on Sunday mornings lately, it seems. But finally, James spoke, suggesting that they write to the Gentile believers, greeting them and not troubling them who have turned to God. And that's Acts 15, 28 through 31. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell." So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. They were encouraged by the decisions that had made. Yes, there were still some things they needed to change and remember, but they were not being held to the letter of the law of the Jews. In this way, the word of wisdom diffused a potentially explosive situation. It would have split the church, an early church split. It happened even back then, ladies. So today, this gift is still alive and well. And so this part I'm going to kind of read from Pastor Chuck's book, because it's his story, not mine. He recounts how God guided and directed him into the ministry that we still follow here at Calvary Chapel, the expositional teaching of God's word. God used the everyday activities and delight of this man to show him God's plan. And it all began with a preacher who loved to surf, being led step by step to being a teacher of God's word. In the early days, he had 2 years of sermons, and they all were focused on evangelism. At the end of those 2 years, he would request a transfer to another church. He was a preacher in a denominational church in those days. But then came Huntington Beach and his love of surfing. He was ending his 2 years and did not want to move on. In his reading, he came across some tools for further learning, and he used them to teach an in-depth study of 1 John, and that took him a year. No topical evangelistic messages in there, and his church doubled in size. When that was finished, he was led to Romans for verse-by-verse teaching, and so it began. He stated that he was not ready for the revolution it caused, and he never expected it to revolutionize him. When he finished Romans, after 2 years, he still did not want to leave, but he didn't have anything else written down. And he bought a book. I brought mine because I had one in my library, Hallie's Bible Handbook. And on the paper cover that used to cover it, it said, "The most important piece of advice you will ever need on page number blah, blah." And he thought, "Oh, I got to have this. Let's see what it says." Now I went off script, so now I don't know where I am. So he went to Hallie's Bible pocketbook, which said that a church should follow a systematic system of reading the Bible all the way through, and that the pastor's sermon should come from the portion of scripture that the congregation had been reading. It was then that Chuck realized he had the whole Bible, and he could spend his whole life there. So that is how God naturally did a supernatural work in his life and ministry, and led to him teaching expositional studies. He went from topical evangelistic messages to studying the Bible book by book. He became a teacher rather than a preacher. It all seemed so natural. God took his natural love for the beach and for surfing, and he used them to guide his path to become a Bible expositor. In very natural ways, God works his supernatural plan in our lives. I included the story because Pastor Chuck included it in his teaching, but I also wanted to give us a sense of the history of how Calvary Chapel came to be and why we do what we do. It is so important that we realize that the Spirit continues his work in our lives today, and not just in the Bible. It's not just about the stories. But let's carry on. So the word of knowledge. Now, this gift of the Spirit mentioned in our text is the word of knowledge. It is information given to us supernaturally, knowledge of things that we could not know through natural acquisition of study. It's exciting to be used by God in this way. It really is. The Spirit will speak through you about a pertinent issue in someone's life, and when it's over, you go, "Wow, where did that come from?" Well, why did I say that? It was a divine impartation of knowledge concerning a person or situation that could not come through natural processes. It is something that flashes into your mind, which God prompts you to say. You know, Randy talked about that after they came back from the conference, how he was told to say something and he didn't want to make a show, and pretty soon he couldn't breathe. It's there, and you're prompted by the Spirit to say these things. It is not coming from you. Some people have such a gift of remembering scriptures. Do you have that friend? I had a friend in California. When this woman was saved, she'd been a drug addict most of her life, from the time she was a young teen, and her mind was kind of shot and fried. But that woman, she read a scripture, and she knew it. And she could quote it. You could say, don't ever play Bible Trivial Pursuit with someone like this. It's really frustrating. But you could say, I know there's a scripture about such and such. And she'd go, blah, 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 and she'd rattle it off. It was an amazing thing. But these people have knowledge of God, and it also prompts them to have knowledge of his ways. They seem to be able to quickly distinguish which is biblical and which is not. Some translations say it is the word of knowledge, while others say that it is an utterance of knowledge. The word is most certainly the word of God. The utterance of knowledge could indicate that those with this gift of knowledge know when to speak particular words, when not to, and what words to speak with. Both words seem to fulfill what true knowledge is. And many with this gift make excellent teachers, deacons, elders, pastors. It goes right along with those gifts as well. Paul instructed Timothy to correct those who were in error, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And that's 2 Timothy 2:26. I didn't do a slide for that one, sorry. So many times when people fall prey to the deception of the enemy, the Lord will show it to us. When you look at them, you know something is just not right. But the Spirit reveals to you their problems only so that you might pray for them, that they will be delivered from the power of Satan. And the same thing is true in the church body in general. The word of knowledge is given to us that we might see God's people delivered from the power of the enemy. In the Old Testament, the word of knowledge was exercised by Elisha, the prophet, in many remarkable ways. He was given information about troop movements to thwart attacks by the Syrian king, Ben-Hadad. Elisha would issue warnings in advance so that Israel was able to escape every trap that was set. Ben-Hadad accused his generals of leaking the information, and he demanded a confession of who the rat was. But they replied, "No, king, it's not that. We are all loyal to you. But there is a prophet in Israel who knows even what you say to your wife when you go to bed at night." Such was a powerful way the word of knowledge was exercised in Elisha's life. To read the full accounts of Elisha's life, it's 1 Kings 19 through 2 Kings 13. I know you didn't want me to read all that to you today. So we also see Jesus exercising this gift. In John 1, 45 through 51, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Wow. In the book of Acts, we see this gift exercised by Peter and later through Paul. Peter speaks knowledge of Ananias and Sapphira's deceit in Acts 5:3, and the church was cleansed from their lies. In chapter 8, verses 14 through 23, is the full account where Peter confronted Simon, the sorcerer, after he attempted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit because he wanted to impart it to whomever he wished. But look at his answer to Simon. Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Peter read what was in his heart through the word of knowledge. He didn't know these things. He could not possibly know. The gift of the word of knowledge often happens during the teaching of the word of God. An illustration will be used, and someone recognizes their circumstance. The teacher thought they were using a hypothetical case, only to find out that they were speaking a word to someone. Sometimes an impression is given, and we just know something about someone. An example that Pastor Chuck had in his book was a time when his wife Kay looked at one of the men in their congregation, and she just knew that he was having an affair with his secretary. And she was like, oh, no, no, why did I have such a thought? I should not have these kinds of thoughts about people. But every time she saw that man, that's what was impressed upon her. And so she discussed it with Chuck. And he's like, oh, now, Kay. We can't just go about accusing people of things. But 6 months later, a call came in to Chuck from this man and his wife. And all they could say is, Pastor Chuck. And they cried. And he said, now, it's okay. I already know. The man and his wife were shocked that he already knew. What is the purpose of this gift? Why would God show us such things? He doesn't give us this gift so that we can be popular with all the latest gossip. The Lord gives us these insights so that we can begin to pray and intercede for hurting people and their needs. There's a word of caution in all of this. The gift can be proclaimed and be bogus. With general statements like, I believe there is someone here who's discouraged. Should we pan the room? Or, someone here has a knee that is bothering them. Well, I can tell you that at my age, me and most of my friends have some achy bones that we could talk about. So those kinds of things we need to be careful of. We need to use our wisdom in listening to these words when they're spoken. As I went through the preparation for this study, the Lord continued to reinforce that these are gifts from Him to be used for the good of His people and for His glory. They're not for the glory of men. This is not a personal reward for a job well done. There may be an awareness of this moving of the Spirit in us, but there may not be. Self-will has no part in this working of the Holy Spirit. But the freedom that comes from our love, our obedience, and our submission to the Lord does. It's kind of like when someone tells you how humble they are, they probably aren't. Self-awareness can so often be a roadblock to our freedom through God and all of His gifts. I want to close with one last quote, and then we'll get to our small groups. It is the same one that is used in our study book from Pastor Chuck. It says, just like the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge is not a vast reservoir that you can tap anytime you want. It is not a huge storage depot to which you have access at your whim. The Spirit is sovereign, has absolute power and authority, not only in bestowing gifts, but also in the exercise of them. So ladies, I hope this has brought some clarity. If not, perhaps it's brought a deeper interest that you will dig a little deeper. But what I do pray most of anything is that you'll find time to rest. Rest in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Rest in the gift of God to you. These are not things that we need to stress about. These are not things that we can cause to happen. It is not our will, but His. We just need to be submissive servants that He can work through us, that His love can show through our lives when we are fully committed to his love for us, that we recognize his grace and his mercy as our Lord and Savior, that there's even a possibility that we could be used for his glory. Because at the end of the day, our true purpose is to bring glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that your words, the words that were spoken, found places to land. That our discussion groups, Father, will be rich with questions, with comments, with learning from one another, learning from your word, that you would watch over each and every woman here, that you will prepare the hearts of the ladies who are coming this evening. That we will learn to rest in you and what you have for us and not get so busy about trying to make things happen on our own. Be with each and every one of us, Lord. In your precious name, amen.